This was a podcast recorded at the 2025 Rally Conference, where youth ministries from the Outer East joined together under one name. Enjoy!
Hey, can we put our hands together and thank the worship team for leading us so beautifully? Super proud of you guys. Man, moments like these are beautiful. Moments like these where it's evident I'm just watching you guys have a moment with God, and I'm excited to gather around the Word of God for just a few moments, and then we're going to have a space to pray and worship a little longer, so I hope you're ready for that. But I have been entrusted to give the final message tonight, and I don't take it for granted. What God has done here in this place over the last 3 days, and super thankful for all the words that have been shared, and I just want to take a few moments to say thank you to a few people. But before we do, I need to make sure I give away some merch. Does anyone want merch? Nice little transition. God is here in the fun and the somber and the silent and all of the moments. God is with us in all things. But one of the things he loves to do is have fun with his kids. And I love to appropriately bribe people into taking notes, all right? So if you feel like, and also I've got to be honest, I've only seen one person's note so far. And that your note reputation has preceded you even before I step foot in here, and I haven't even seen them. So there's only one person right now in the race to receive this merch. Where's my boy Dylan? Make some noise for Dylan. Dylan, come on down here. Come on, Dylan, come on. You can make noise. I said make some noise for Dylan. Dylan's a part of our team at Society Church. He drove on in today to, come on up here, Dylan, come on. Dylan is already repping the merch. Shout out the rally. Look at this. He's a model for you guys. I was going to say I paid for this. Actually, it came out of Dylan's bank account, and I'm going to transfer him the money. I'll make sure I do that. We brought you guys some merch. Who wants this merch? This is very, like, somber. I thought, who wants some merch? All right. If you feel like you are in the running for winning the merch, can you just give me a yeah? You feel like you are. There's three people that feel like they're in the running. I met you at the leaders gathering. What's your name again? Emma. I was going to say Abby, but it's close. But Emma. Emma, do you think you can win this? All right, you come up on here on this stage. Make some noise for Emma. Do you think you can win it? Come on up here. I've done this before when I've spoken, and this is what I promise I would never do, is bring you guys up on stage, because I have to crush someone's heart. That's a rookie move. And where's my friend, I think it was Brent. What's your name, bro? Brett, come on up, make some noise for Brett. And make some noise for Pastor Matt. Matt, you need to come up here because you need to co-sign this decision, because we're going to break some hearts together, okay? All right? This is what we do in leadership, all right? Well, not really, but I just want to make sure these lovely teenagers are going to be your responsibility to crush their hearts, okay? So, I saw a roaming camera. Come on, bring this camera up here. Make some noise for my cameraman.
I want to give a special shout out to this man who has overseen the tech team and done an amazing job too. Thank you, Keith. You're a legend.
All right. Let's go. Show the cameras here. Here we go. An appreciation for, wow. There's artistry. There's creativity. Wow. Whoa, yep.
Yeah, see, there's more pages over here, Pastor Josh, but there's more color in this one. Brett's is beautifully authentic, but shout out to you because you've been on the tech team for part of it as well. So well done, Brett, but I think it's out of the two ladies. Well done. Are you making me, mate? Yeah, you have to do one.
I'm going to pick this one, and I'll someone will buy you something else from the merch table. give it to our friend here. We can make sure you get the right sizes later. Here you go. You're a legend. Make some noise for our friends. All right. Hey, it ain't a youth conference with a little bit of competition. And the yellow team, shout out to you. You guys won, the yellow, shout out. Where the yellow team don't care? Are you out there, yellow team? Come on, mate, somebody. Hey, are you sleepy? Are people that, like, if this crew right here, friendship fella, he's in the friendship zone down here. I don't know if you remember that. I will never remember your real name. For the rest of my life, you are the friendship guy. He is in the friendship zone. If you weren't here this morning, my man admitted to being in the friend zone, and we are all praying for him in these days. And I feel like now I can't actually ask your name. Like, I feel like that's your new name. Like, maybe it's a spiritual name. You are a great friend. You are a great friend. You've got to be a good friend in life. I want to quickly make sure, can we put our hands together for all of the volunteers who made this happen? You guys are heroes. Super thankful for you. I, by God's grace, get to come to spaces like this pretty often, and I'm never take for granted that people sacrifice their time, energy, money to create spaces like this for you to encounter the presence of God. And so I want to challenge you, make sure you look some volunteers in the eyes tonight and say thank you for giving up of your time, energy, and sacrifice. Reply to your youth leaders' messages this term. When they take you out to Macca's, say thank you for that free McFlurry, you know what I'm saying? And let's have a great, great time tonight. Make some noise for all of the youth leaders and youth pastors as well. Come on, you guys are heroes. And especially want to shout out Matt, Holly, the whole crew. Can we make some noise? Come on. And we're going to dive on into the Word of God. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Acts. Say Acts chapter 1. If you don't know where Acts chapter 1, it is before Acts chapter 2. While we do that, I don't know, did we get that photo of the church building? If not, no worries. I just wanted to say really quickly, while I've been in this space, I've been amazed meeting with your youth pastors, your youth leaders, meeting you guys. God's doing something so amazing across this region, is he not? That's when you say, yeah. And I just sense, like, I was praying for you guys really in the lead up to this, like, what is being birthed here? You guys forever get to say, I was at the first rally. Look at your neighbor and say, you were at the first. But what has taken place here, look at my eyeballs, you see these eyeballs, they are saying this with integrity, this is the start of something special in this region. This is the start of what God is going to do, I believe, and already is doing, a mighty move of God in your generation. We sit in the sacrifices, I've been joking, but I've been with full sincerity, this property that we are on is incredible, is it not? It's beautiful. It's amazing. And we just started a brand new church called Society Church just south of the city. And it's been amazing to me hearing the stories of what God is doing across all the amazing churches across Melbourne. But I stand in moments like tonight amazed and thankful for the generations that have gone before us. That many decades ago, people had a vision for what could take place, and we are sitting in the remnant and the sacrifice of what they did for us. And you have a moment right now. I talked about it this morning, but you ain't ever going to get these moments back, friends. So how are we going to live in these days? Will you get a vision for what your life could look like? Will you think and pray and ask God, how could I spend my high school years for you? Because right now, we are living in a special moment in time. God is doing something fresh. God is doing something amazing. But you know, and I know, that there's a lot of chaos in the world right now, is there not? We can look around and see the heartache. We can see the pain. We can see the horrible things happening and ask why. We talked about it this morning, but we live in a sin-riddled world, and there is a need for Jesus. And it just feels like, do you not feel this, that the world has almost reached an end of itself? Like, your friends and my friends are asking a lot of questions right now. Why is the world like this? Why do these horrible things keep happening? And you know what? The news and the media have written off your generation. Do you know that? The most anxious generation, they won't amount to much. Do you feel that people say that sometimes about your generation? But do you know what? I believe that is an utter lie. because I am seeing it. I'm talking to my friends from London to the US to all over that God is moving in your generation. And that Jesus would say a different story to you. That though the world may seem chaotic, that though it may seem like these atrocious things have happened, I have a plan and a purpose for you. And tonight I have come with a simple charge to us as a community to lift our eyes and behold the beauty of Jesus and see what he is doing in your generation. Though the world may have a different narrative, the gospel message says there is hope for you. And so tonight, as we gather around the word of God, I want you to feel hope rising in the air. And I want to do everything in my power to send you back to whatever youth ministry or church you came from, wherever your circumstance waits for you, to be equipped for the days to come. So, I told you this morning, I'm not very good at reading. And old Bobby, is he still here? I renamed him Bobby. He knows the joke. We're already boys. We made inside jokes, don't we, Bobby? Bailey. I know. Stop playing with me, all right? I know everyone's names. No, I'm not going to play this game right now. Bailey, you already got out of this, so I'm not going to pick on you. Who's going to help me read the Word of God? Come on, I need someone right now, or else I'm going to pick on someone. Come on, brother, let's go. This guy was in the leader elective early. He's a leader. Caleb. Noah. Ah, man, there's so many biblical names around here. I just throw a biblical name. There's Matt, there's Josh, there's James, there's Esther, all of you guys. Just love Jesus. Now I just said so many names, I forgot your name. Noah. Come on, man, rescued us from the ark. No, I don't know. He didn't rescue us from the ark. That's bad theology. He built an ark. Come on, somebody. That was a test, and you guys all passed, all right? You guys all passed. Hey, will you be up standing for the Word of God? Come on, stretch your legs, somebody. We're going to come around the Word of God. Come on. I know you guys have all got it. Acts chapter 1, that's where we're going to be. It's before Acts chapter 2. All right. Noah, the rescuer. You ready?
Yeah.
It's behind you if you want it on really big font.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Appreciate you, bro. Stay here for a moment. Do you mind just praying over us tonight? He's like, I didn't sign up for that. Just a little word, bro.
Okay. Thank you, God, for this amazing night and this amazing whole couple of days has been for all these people. Thank you, God, that I've all been able to come here and connect together and connect with you. And hopefully we've been able to take something out of this and learn more about you. Amen.
Come on, can you make some noise? Grab a seat. It's awesome. Hey, shout out. There's great readers here at the rally. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not too stinky. You know, sometimes I go to these youth events and there's a lot of stench in the air, but this is quite a nice fragrant aroma, you know. You're good hygiene, it feels good. So Pastor Matt told me he had a sneaky shower this afternoon, so wherever he is, he's disappeared. There he is, come on, bro. You know, good hygiene out here in the outer east. Where am I? I've been in Bendigo this week. I've been all over the place. And shout out, if I could live anywhere other than where I currently live, I'd live in the outer east. The trees are beautiful, the vibes are great, good people, but I don't live here. Hey, Acts chapter 1. Look at your neighbor, say Acts chapter 1. There is a moment right at the beginning of the book of Acts, and say there was a breath, say a breath. Jesus Christ, can I give you a quick summary of what has taken place here in the scriptures? I'm going to give it anyway. Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life amongst creation, going from villages and towns, interacting with humanity, eating with people, laughing with people, seeing people in their brokenness, seeing people in their pain. Jesus Christ, fully God, yet fully man, would ultimately journey towards the cross and lay his life down, dying for you. I need you to feel that. Jesus died for you. So often we can come to gatherings like this and hear some talks. And let me just pause. I'm not up here giving a TED talk. I'm not up here to just say some nice words to you. I'm here to point you to King Jesus and see the beauty of who he is and experience the presence of God. Jesus Christ died for you. Your performance could not earn his love for you. He demonstrated his love for all of us while we were still sinners. Feel that. Never grow old from that. Never think, let me graduate to something else more eloquent or better theological. No, 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 no. Remember, Jesus Christ died for you. And you know what he did? He defeated death. Feel that. Death could not hold him. He came out of that tomb. His disciples, the followers of Jesus, saw him with their eyes. Think about that. They lived with him, they journeyed with him, and they watched him die. A few days later, he came out of that grave, and they appeared and went, "Wow, Jesus, you're here." And he went from being just a morally good teacher, some guys with a nice idea, to the risen Savior. And hope rises. But there is this moment where after appearing to his disciples, journeying with them, there is a breath. The tomb is empty. The disciples have seen him alive, and yet he tells them to wait. And moments before he ascends to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, saying that the Spirit of God will come, he says to wait. And I think we live in a busy world where we just want to get after busy activity, but I'm here today to implore us as a community to wait on God, to follow his lead and to follow his guide. This group of people had seen the miracles, they'd walked with the Son of God and even touched him and felt the reality that he was alive. Yet he would ascend into heaven and they were told to go and wait because they still weren't ready, because they needed the Spirit of God with them. And this group of people would gather in an upper room waiting on God to come, and then like a mighty rushing wind, the Spirit of God comes. You need to go and study this and you need to know the scriptures yourself. Acts 1, 2, go look at the start of the early church. And this small group of people will go on to ultimately seeing the world change. They didn't have a bunch of money in their bank account. They didn't have big, loud microphones like this. They didn't have great games like we've experienced tonight. They just were witnesses to the reality of God, had the Spirit of God with them, and were compelled to go. And in a world full of chaos, and in a world full of suffering and difficulty, they went and took the message of Jesus, and from one generation to the next, and from one generation to the next, the message of Jesus spread like wildfire around the world until 2025, a group of teenagers gathered in the Outer East to worship King Jesus, and now is your time. And so, for my note takers who aren't being bribed tonight, but I see you, the title of my message tonight is, I believe, a prophetic statement in these days, and I believe a life message for me, and I pray it will become the same for you. The title is this: God is on the move. God is on the move. I don't know if there's any Narnia friends out there. Anyone love old Narnia? Shout out Narnia. Come on, make some noise. Say, come on. Woo! Do you remember that moment when murmurs started to go and whispers started to go around? And what was the phrase? Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. The winter's dissipating. Aslan is on the move. C.S. Lewis, the writer of Narnia, I believe, was onto something as a picture for you and I to recognize and realize in the same way. God is on the move. That it might seem pretty tough out there, it might seem like some horrible things are taking place out there, but friends, God is on the move. And we are a part of seeing God move in our generation. And so tonight, I just am here to kind of pass on some good news report. Can I do that? I'm going to do it anyway. I have friends all around the world right now who are amazed at what God is doing in your generation. This week alone, like wrapped along the east coast of Australia, and I'm sure there's more. I got friends that had youth conferences in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. I was hanging out in good old Bendigo. And your generation, and everyone said the same thing. They're so hungry. It's simple. They just want, give me the real thing. Give me the presence of God. I've got friends who were on a college campus and are literally having tens of thousands of college students respond to the gospel, and they're having to find ponds, rivers, any beds of body, because they're saying, baptize me now so I can tell people about Jesus. All across college campuses across America. I've got a friend, Zach, who preached a very average message in a random place in Kentucky. And he texted his wife and said, I may not be coming home because a bunch of young people aren't leaving because they're praying and seeking God. 19 young people turned into thousands of young people in a course of a short period of time because God is on the move in your generation. I've got friends in London right now that can't contain all the young people turning to God right now. I've got friends all over who are saying the same thing. God is moving in your generation. Will you miss this moment? I hope you feel a bigness rise in you tonight, knowing we are gathered here. My friend Dylan said this. It's amazing to think on the other side of Melbourne, there's a group of people worshiping Jesus right now. All over, God is breathing and God is moving, and I hope something happens tonight. You lift your eyes. And a sense of faith rises within you for when you go home and wherever you go, you recognize and realize God's moving in your generation all around the world. Not just you here in this room. And though I'm so grateful that you're here in this room, God is moving across so many churches, across so many regions, and you're a part of it. So no matter what the news and the media and all these people say, you know God is on the move. If you're thankful that God's on the move, can you put your hands together and thank the Lord for a moment that He is moving in these days? So I'm going to really quickly try to teach around this for a few moments, and I'm going to disappear, and the band are going to come, and the Holy Spirit's going to minister to you, and then we're all going to get out of here and eat some leftover food or something. I don't know. We'll go do something. Have a great time. So you got to see my family up on the screen earlier today. My wife, Taylor, high school sweethearts. Also recommend don't date in high school, all right? That's just free game for you. I broke the rules in year 12. Shouldn't have done it. I repent, but it's turned out all right. We've been married 11 years. Pumped out a couple little kids. They're American-born boys. And not me. Forgive me, Lord. Got two amazing boys, 5 and 3. Best friends in the world, love hanging out with them. Eli, my oldest, prayed a prayer for you all today. But my wife, a little different to me. And I always like to make sure, there's probably three types of people in this room. First group of people, I know you're my people. Where's my iPhone people out there? You're not very passionate, okay, iPhone, woo, all right. What about, these are my favorite people, the no phone people. Come on, somebody. You are my favorite people. Stay like that. Where are now the rest of you? The Samsung, the Androids. These are the nerds that will change the world, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are leading in technology. It's cool to be a nerd, man. You guys are like mavericks. You're like, man, I'm cutting a different cloth, you know? Like, I'm not going to be a sheep like the rest of you just following Steve Jobs and his ways, you know? Like, there's different types of people. I can see personalities. And I'm just a sheep just following the crowd, you know? Like, I'll just do whatever. You guys have probably got more power in that thing that can run this whole building. I don't know what this can do, but... But you know what my wife likes to do a lot with her phone? Not charge it. I don't know about you, but good common sense would be at night, I don't know if you're like this, but put your phone on charge. Now, that's good logic, good common sense. That's what I do. Now, my wife, she's a big extrovert. She's the life of the party. I often say, like, I'm the accessory to Taylor. Like, she is the star of the show. People, when she walks into the room, everyone loves her. And they're like, ah, Josh. So she likes to live life on the edge, man. So you know what she does? She just doesn't put her phone on charge at night. She charges it when it's necessary. So typically what happens is she'll go to bed, forget to put on charge. The next day will begin and she'll have like 30% battery from the day before. And then around 3 o'clock, do you know what happens? I try to call her, no answer. Why? It's dead. Now that thing that she has in her pocket is typically amazing. Take some nice photos of our sons, call me. You could really do quite anything that you want through it. Kind of create a world-changing plan. You know, like there's a million things that this phone has designed for it, doesn't it? But when this thing is dead, it is utterly useless. It's just like a little hammer. Nice little scratcher. When it is not charged and connected to its source, it is utterly useless. You know, that's how so often you and I live our life. We forget that we were made with design and intentionality. That God made you. You were made in His image. And that the Spirit of God wants to fill you and empower you to live a life following Him. But so often we take something, our life, and go and try to live it according to our way and completely miss the power and the Spirit of God active in our life and the life He's invited us into. And tonight I want to reorientate us as we go from this place into the spaces that God's called us to see the life He's invited us into, charged and ready to go and equipped for these days. So if you're with me, say, I'm ready. So the first thing, if we are going to recognize what God is calling us into in these days, that He is on the move, I need you to make some commitments to me and priorities to me. And the first priority is this: prioritize the presence of God. Simply a sub-thought is that you are made to know God, friend. This scripture that we just read of says at the very beginning, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. If you want power in your life, you must recognize you are not trying to attain power by the world standards, by how much muscle you can have or how much influence you can have. No. We're not trying to get power like the world has. We're trying to receive the power and presence of God in our life. When we go low, when we seek Him, all of a sudden things start to take place in our life because we have proximity to the one who made us, and all of a sudden things shift around us. That's why when we create a space for worship like this, we experience and recognize the presence of God is with us. Jesus did not say to His disciples, you'll receive a bunch of influence with your life. He didn't say you'll receive a bunch of comfort for your life. He said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. From the Spirit of God, it's not just some concept to be understood, but a person to know. It's not just some weird kind of spiritual thing out there, but no, a person to know. That God's Spirit is with us. So when we're running around with worry and doubt, we orientate ourselves and recognize the presence of God is with me. That God, you've gone to great lengths to be with me, and I am made to know Him. So I want to implore you as a young people to know and prioritize the presence of God. Oh, friends, His presence is not just some accessory for your life. It is the essence of life. I pray you would not just settle for just kind of lukewarm, go to church occasionally, youth occasionally kind of living and experience His presence occasionally. No, I want you to experience His presence every single day. John 15:4 says, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Say, remain in the vine. Because neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If you want fruit in your life, you must remain in Christ. So many of us are running around powerless, unconnected, and barren in our life. It's time to see some fruit in our lives, is it not? It's time to remain in Him. An easy way to think about this is like my wife Taylor. I like to take her on some dates, you know. I'm not in the friend zone anymore. And so I take her on some dates, and I want you to imagine if this is how our relationship worked. I took her to Italian. She loves Italian food. Anyone like Italian out there? Okay, all right. What do you guys like over here? Thai. There's a lot of Thai. I don't know what your favorite cuisine is, Taylor. She likes Italian. We go to an Italian restaurant, sit down. Hey, babe, how you doing? Talk about life. Have really connection in our feelings. It feels good, you know, really connect. Dream about the future. It's romantic. Give her nice flowers. You know how it goes. I'm a romantic. But we have a great date, and we go home, and then I stop talking to her. Imagine the next day, I wake up, and I don't talk to my wife. Don't send her a text. Don't call her while I'm at work. Like, I'd be a pretty bad guy, right? Ladies say boo. But imagine if I did that the next day and the next day, and we're just kind of coexisting, but I don't even acknowledge my wife. And then the next week, date night rolls to town. Italian, hey babe, here's some flowers, and we start talking again. And then the next week, don't talk to her any day or any communication. The next week, rock up to another date. Hey, how are you? That would be the most dysfunctional relationship ever. And that's how many of you interact with God like that. You go to church, you go to youth occasionally, God, I'm here. And then you walk out those doors and completely forget He exists and He is with you. And I'm not saying to neglect gathering together. These moments matter. Church, absolutely, be there every single week. But friends, every day engage with God. Prioritize His presence. He is with you. Because we need a generation understanding that the presence of God is with them and walking in power. Not just here for a nice performance, not just here to do some things, but experiencing the presence of God every single day of your life. Because I think we're in a crisis moment in the world. Your friends are looking for something more, aren't they? You're having the hard conversations, aren't you? And they're looking and they're seeking, but you have something more. It's the presence of God with you wherever you go. And so I want to implore us as a community to be marked by the presence of God and let hunger rise in this place. Because the Spirit of His presence is what distinguishes the people of God from every other group. Have you ever had it? You experience the presence of God and you walk in and it's like, there's something different about this place. This last Sunday, we launched our church 3 weeks ago. A girl found us on social media, grew up in a Buddhist household, traveled 90 minutes via public transport because she was curious about spirituality, found us online, appeared at our gathering on Sunday, walked up, said hello, sat in a gathering, heard the gospel preach, came forward to receive Christ and respond and say, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. And you know what happened? The very end of the gathering, with tears in her eyes, she looked me in the eyes and said, "People, I've been prayed by 3 different people. Whenever they pray for me, I feel this sense of peace and warmth like I've never experienced in my life. You have to teach me how to follow Jesus." Friends, this is happening all over the world right now because there's something about the presence of God, and we have access to His presence. The second thought that I have for us is we must prioritize a big fancy Christian word, but it's really, really helpful, is discipleship. Say discipleship. Another way to say this is to be with Jesus, to become like Him, and to act like Jesus. Look at your friend and say, be with. Say, become like. Say, act like. It goes on to say in this verse that we're looking at, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Jesus didn't just want us to witness his resurrection, he wanted us to be imitators of his life. Jesus has invited you and I to be followers of him, to let it transform our life and the way in which we live. Are you fellas Brisbane Lions fans? No? This guy is. Bro, you're asleep down here. You having a good rest? I'm just playing. He's all good. This is my bro. What's your name, bro? Nice to meet you, man. I'm Josh. Do you have a favorite football team or favorite sport or anything like that? You don't know? You're just like, stop talking to me. Is there anyone out there that goes for the Lions? I love this. There's not one Lions supporter in this whole... Great leadership. Okay. But you're not the Lions fan I'm looking for because you're a little bit embarrassed. Are there any Geelong fans out there? We're a little bit hurting. Well, right now my illustration's falling flat. I thought there'd be one Lions fan out there. The other week, Carlton were not in the grand final. Are you Carlton? And Collingwood aren't either. But 100,000 people filled the MCG, and what did they do? They spent some money, they dressed up like whatever, cats and lions, went raw, you know, went meow, I don't know, screamed passionately, cried tears, confetti goes off. And while that game was happening, I was licking my wounds because Collingwood weren't there. And you know what I did? I watched it on my little laptop because I didn't really care to even put it on the TV. And then I noticed that in the fourth quarter, if you didn't watch the game, I'm just telling you what happened. The Lions took off. They won the game. And I just turned my laptop off and had a nap. Two different experiences of a grand final. 100,000 people screaming, me having a nap. That group of people were passionately all in for their team. Me, very mediocrely engaged. I pray when it comes to your walk with Jesus, you would be all in for him. Don't just be lukewarm in this thing. Don't just appreciate it a little bit. Go all in for Jesus, friends. Because the Spirit's power is not just, listen to me, look at me, say look at him. It's not just for some miracle things out there. It's for the formation and transformation of our life. The Holy Spirit doesn't just empower us, but it forms us and shapes us and molds us. And I want you to get a vision for your life, 12-year-olds in the room. What would it look like for you to follow Jesus all the days of your life? The fruit in your life, the transformation of your life. Because you and I, we follow some accounts online. Some of you love conspiracy theories. Some of you love the latest gossip. I don't know what your favorite account is to follow. We follow all sorts of things. But the life of following Jesus is more just than a brand to associate or someone to glean from afar. He's a person to know. And I'm looking for a generation to say, I will be a disciple of Jesus. What is a disciple? A student, a follower, someone that is all in and committed to following him. Would the rally be marked by this? I'll get the old band to come play me off because the trapdoor's about to appear. Thank you, band. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says this. Have nothing to do with silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, some of you love bodily training. But godliness is of value in every way, and it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Look at me, feel me. Some of you train for a lot of things. Your math class, you're like, man, I'm going to crush that exam. Some of you are training for some Mario Kart and need to work on your skills. I'll beat all of you, I promise. Some of you are training for things, but let me say this, above all things, train for godliness. build some spiritual muscle to you, because the world believes you can't. But I know young people all around the world that are all in for Jesus and saying, I want to grow in spiritual muscle following Jesus. So can I get really practical? Say, Josh, get practical. I want you to spend your mornings with God. When you wake up in the morning, don't just go to your phone and scroll. Wake up in the morning, grab the Word of God and pray and meet with God. If you need help in this, ask your leader. Create a sense of leaning into the body of Christ and saying, hey, will you teach me in this? I've heard it's probably important to get the Word of God in my life. Teach me how to read Scripture. Look for Jesus in the Scriptures. Ask Him to shape and mold your life. I want you to wonder, how do you spend your time right now? Is it, man, I'm just scrolling on my feed all night long? Or what if it's you say, hey, nope, I'm going to go and pray. Man, maybe some of you, this term, you need to go all in for your small group. I was like, man, we've kind of been tiptoeing around this thing. It's time for us together to memorize Scripture, to pray together, to grow together. Some of you, it's time to start inviting your friends to youth. Some of you, for the leaders that we did the elective earlier, it's time to set the temperature. When we walk into a space, as we say, we are about God here. And we radically love those around us. Would we give God our time and attention and grow together as a community to see the goodness and grace and mercy of God and active in our land? Are you with me? Lastly, everyone say place. Look at your neighbor, say pace. Look at your other neighbor, say perspective. Now, let's say it all together. Place, pace, perspective. Find some rhythm. Place, pace, perspective. One more time. If you think of these three words, I'm just trying to really quickly equip you. Find a place to meet with God. Your bedroom. Let that be a space where you create worship music to God. Maybe it's when you need to go put the headphones in and go for a walk and find a park bench. A place to meet with God. Change your pace. Turn down the noise of the world. Slow down enough to meet with God. Your perspective. Lift your eyes and see the goodness of God all around us. If you start to do this, you'll cultivate a life of following Jesus. There's so much more that I could say, but in simplest, I would say, don't settle for average living. God has more for you. The third one, say third one. I want you to prioritize and believe to see the transformation of society. What does this mean? I believe that you have a mission to live on, young person. I believe there is a vision that you can get for your life. To actually see the world look different. Let us not settle for horrific things happening in the world and just go bury our head in the sand and say, let's go have a holy huddle over here because that's really, really bad over there. You know, all throughout church history, the church has stepped into horrible moments and often young people have led it and seen the transformation of society for the glory of God. Communities looking different, the grace of God extended. Schools started. Hospitals began. What's the dream in your heart the way you could see something change around you? Get a vision for what your life could look like in following Jesus. Start walking up to your school every day and say, come, Holy Spirit. Start praying for your year level. Come, Holy Spirit. Start praying for your football club. Come, Holy Spirit. Start praying and believing that we could see the transformation of society. Because you know what the scripture says? From Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Spirit of God did not just come to build a nice, comfortable church. It came to ignite a global movement. The gospel began in Jerusalem and went around the world. The early church did not just stay in an upper room like a moment like this. They went on mission. They went to the streets and to the cities and the nations and with a generation where the Roman government of the day was quite intimidating. But a little group of people gathered together and said, may we see God move in our day. Because a candle will never lose its light by lighting another candle. Friends, would we let our light shine and see the invitation for a bigger life with God today? And I pray we would not settle for just a nice, cushy life. I believe in you, but not, don't just take my word for it. God believes in you. And He's invited you into the greatest adventure of your life. Sometimes we can settle for, man, following Jesus might just be some rules or this. No, 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 friends. There is design and intentionality to your life. And when you're connected to Him, everything changes around us. So would we prioritize the presence of God in our life, grow as followers of Jesus, and believe to see the transformation of society? Because you know what? God is on the move. In your generation, around the earth, and this is a moment we find ourselves in. 2 Chronicles, this is my final scripture for us, and we're going to pray. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 is a promise for us. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. There is an invitation to go humbly before God, seek Him. He will heal our land. Will you go before God, friends? Start turning your home and your bedroom into a prayer meeting. We start believing to see His kingdom come to earth, to see our communities look different. I wonder what the rally will look like in 2026. I wonder what your youth ministries are going to look like from here. I wonder what your churches are going to look like this Sunday, tomorrow, when there's a hungry group of people that say, God is on the move and He's the one I'm seeking. This is the invitation, friends, because God is on the move. Don't settle for a shallow existence. Go all in for the things of Jesus. So would you stand with me? And we're going to respond. Just close your eyes right where you are. This is a moment in time. The Spirit of God is here. So, Bam, will you just start to lead us for a moment? Can we just respond in worship for a moment? Create an atmosphere of worship. Receive the Spirit of God. Let faith rise for a moment. Come with every head bowed, every eye closed. Why don't you reach your hands if you feel comfortable? It's a sign of surrender. Maybe you need to go low and bow. Just sing to Him for a little moment.
Open the heavens and fling wide the gates. Flood every heart with mercy. Pour out your presence, inhabit our praise as we cry, holy, holy. Open the heavens, fling wide the gates.
Just get your eyes on Jesus.
Every heart with mercy.
Just open your heart to Him right now.
Pour out your presence, inhabit our praise as we cry, holy.
Just let a roar start to rise. Believe what God may do in these days.
Pour out your presence, inhabit our praise as we cry, holy, holy.
Yes, Jesus.
Open the heavens, fling wide the gates, flood every heart with mercy.
There's a couple groups of people I just want to pray for quickly. Let's just keep our attention and eyes on Jesus. And I'd love to just create a little bit of space here if that's okay. So if these beanbags can disappear somewhere, shout out to the beanbags. But keep your eyes on Jesus for a moment, friends. He's here. For the sake of time, could I please get all the youth pastors? Make some noise for the youth pastors. Youth pastors, will you just come right here? Youth pastors. Hey, I felt this very specifically for you guys. I am jealous of you. Like, this is a real... Come on, don't be shy. Any youth directors, any other youth ministry leaders, like, you key lead a youth ministry. Come forward, please. Thank you. I am super proud of you guys. Like, this is a special moment. Where's my boy Josh? He's preaching at church tomorrow. Come on, guys. Let's go. Shout out Josh. He's preaching tomorrow. Well, Josh should receive this word of encouragement too. This is a really, really special moment in time, what represents here in this room. And I believe across this region, you're about to see a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. And I'm grateful for you guys. And so will you reach out your hands and pray for these guys right now? Holy Spirit, we thank you for every youth ministry represented across this region. God, we say thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. Right now, I pray for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. We pray for boldness here in these days, for fresh creativity and innovation. God, we ask for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit across this land. We say thank you, Jesus. Will you guys come forward and face the youth right now? Come forward, youth pastor. Just stand here and look at these guys. Will you put your hands together and thank these guys? These are heroes. Can I please get every youth leaders to come and join these guys? Make some noise for the youth leaders. Amazing. You guys are heroes. I want you guys to look at the youth. Youth, will you make noise for these guys one more time? This is an important moment. Youth leaders, youth pastors, because God is on the move. And I'm so thankful for your sacrifice. I'm so thankful for the way in which you love the Lord. I'm so thankful for your yes. But this is an important moment to be entrusted to lead this coming generation. And so right now, I want to pray over this group of people. Will you extend your hands, youth, towards these guys? Holy Spirit, we pray right now for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit upon this group. God, I thank you for their yes. I thank you for their sacrifices. God, I pray as they go from here, may they feel the pleasure of the Father upon them, saying thank you, because the harvest is very, very full, God. And it's plentiful, and there's an opportunity before us. But we need laborers, and these guys have given you the yes is there, God. So God, I pray for rich blessing upon them. We say thank you, God. And now, I want to turn my attention to the students here, the youth. As you look at this group of people looking at you, this is your moment. We believe in you and we are for you. And as we go from this moment, may this be a marking moment for every single one of you. May you feel eyes on you saying, we believe in you, because God is on the move. And so right now, what I want to do is just for a few moments, I want us to be humble enough to pray together. And some of you, I felt this, have difficult circumstances you're going back to with family things or things that you're facing. Some of you, like I said earlier, just want a sense of boldness. Some of you have been believing lies, and tonight those lies need to go in the name of Jesus. Some of you just need to simply be bold enough to receive prayer tonight. And something happens when we lay hands on one another and pray for a fresh impartation. And so I'm going to ask the band to sing again. And I'm going to ask you to be bold enough, and maybe you're good. Maybe you're like, man, I don't need anything. Receive prayer tonight. Let these leaders lay a hands upon you and pray a blessing of boldness on you as you go and take the gospel with you as we go. Does that make sense? So, Ben, I want you to sing, please. And would you come forward right now and receive prayer? Leaders, will you just pray a prayer of blessing upon them? And let us worship together. Come, youth. Come and receive just a quick blessing. This may be new to you. It might feel intimidating to you. We just want to bless you with peace. We want to bless you with a sense of confidence to go right now. Leaders, will you just lay a hand of blessing upon them? We want to make sure everyone gets a chance to receive prayer right now. Every heart with mercy. There's a lot of youth to pray through for leaders, so just pray a quick prayer of blessing. Thank you. And while you're waiting for prayer, just keep your eyes on Jesus and sing to Him. Let's worship. Keep your eyes on Jesus, keep singing to Him, receive prayer.
Worship Your Majesty.
Thank You, Jesus.
Worship Your holy name. Jesus, my everything.
Just keep worshiping once you've received prayer.
More than I am.
Jesus. Stay in this posture with your eyes on Jesus. Just receive of His love right now. Just close your eyes if they're open. Just take a moment between you and God. He is here. I just get this picture, maybe for someone, like you feel like in life you are white knuckling your way through everything, just trying so hard, trying to receive people's affirmation and hear, well done. I just feel like there's an invitation to see your perfect Father in heaven sees you, cares for you, and you don't have to try anymore in your own energy or effort. You'll just trust Him in that. Just receive right now for a few more minutes. If you're here tonight, and I just keep feeling this word like boldness. Like if you're here today and you're just want to receive a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, particularly around boldness. Will you just wave at me so I know you're out there to pray for you? It's amazing all over this place. If you see someone with their hand up, will you just put a hand on their shoulder and let the body minister the body right now? If you see someone with their hand up, put your hand on their shoulder right now and just pray. Oh, right now, King Jesus, we ask for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank You for Noah, a mighty man of God. God, I pray right now that You'll come for every single person across this room. and that they would be marked by the Spirit of God and have boldness as they go. Just like the disciples pray, we need more boldness. So right now, God, I pray for visions for what their schools could look like. God, I pray as we go here from this place, may we experience and know the reality that you are with us. The other invitation I quickly feel to pray for is if you're here, keep your eyes closed for this. If you're here and you're maybe just a little bit worried about what you're going home to, maybe, and I feel particularly around families, like it's maybe your parents, maybe there's a sickness that you've heard of, or like a bad report, whatever that may be. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and I want to pray for you right now. Yes, God. You see these hands extended to you right now. Oh, come Holy Spirit right now. God, you know every circumstance represented here in this room. God, you know every hair on every person's head. You know their thoughts. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for peace right now. Just receive of his peace right now. As we wait on you, God, I ask for good sleep at night. Like I think some people, it's like maybe night terrors, or you put your head on the pillow and worry rises. Right now, I pray in the name of Jesus for peace. God, we ask for healing in the name of Jesus. Whatever sickness may be represented, whatever's going on, we ask and we believe for miracles in the mighty name of Jesus right now. For that family member, for that horrible circumstance, whatever, we ask for your redemptive nature and healing to take place in the mighty name of Jesus. And lastly, I feel like there's an invitation for all of us to get a fresh vision for what our lives could look like in following Jesus. Sometimes we can come into environments like this and just be kind of focused on us, but I want just for a few moments, these last few moments that we have gathered together, to get our eyes outward onto those around us, our schools, our youth ministries, and can we just start praying for a moment and believing that God is moving, will move, and is true to his word. Amen? So, Ben, will you just start to lead us something, eyes on Jesus, and let's worship, and let's sing, and let's get our eyes out for a moment.
Worship your holy name.
Maybe we need to go low and bow. Maybe your hands need to be raised as a sign of surrender. We need you, God. This is a moment. Go low before him. Seek his face. Maybe you need to repent right now of some things that is just like, man, I'm changing today, God. Just let a cry start to permeate the air for what God may do. God is moving in our land. He's moving across Australia. Yes, Lord.